Today is the 26th of August 1994. This is a series of brief interviews with the senior staff of the City of Berwick, looking at the broad perspectives in the history of the city. This is the 8th interview with Mr. Ken Derricott, Manager of Information Systems. Do you want to start with the...
You can have those things if you want them, actually.
With when you first came to the City of Berwick?
All right. A letter dated the 16th of November 1973, advising me that council had appointed me at its meeting on the November the 15th, 1973, as the position of regular to the City of Berwick. I listed my salary and transport, some of the type of thing that I made some arrangements with.
Where were you working at that time?
The interview was held at the temporary, the old CRB building on the top of the freeway there, and Kays Avenue. It was interesting going in there because at that stage there was only one building there, from my recollection of memory. I was interviewed by the full council. And I just haven't got the date when they actually interviewed me, but it must have been early November, I think. And then was appointed on the 15th of November. So at that stage I was putting in a new computer system at the City of Sandringham, so I wanted to give them a bit of notice. So I didn't start at the City of Berwick until I think it was about the 3rd or 4th of January 1974. At that stage there was only me, and my first day I reported at the Hallam offices, and our old building surveyor at that stage too started the same day. It was Max Croxford, and we used to drive to Pakenham, or the old Shire Berwick offices, and we worked out of there. And the first job, I remember one of the first jobs I was given by the old rate collector, not the old rate collector, the rate collector for the Shire of Berwick, and we're taking over the new area, was the allocation of street numbers up in the Endeavour Hills area. So that subdivision had just started to take shape, and so I allocated those street numbers to James Cook Drive and that at that stage. This is one thing I thought about, but we did that for quite a few weeks. We used to meet at the Hallam Road, and then Kays Avenue, and then drive up to Pakenham. And then drive back again. They were long hours, those particular, probably even that first 12 months. My job initially was, well, I had to start putting in procedures to get the rate area functioning. My first appointment was Val Kerr, and she was my cashier. And my first assistant was Ted Cleary. And then I advertised for other members of staff, like at that stage used to be Telex. We used to send all our data into a bureau, computer bureau in St Kilda. And I needed a Telex operator, I needed some office staff. And I was very fortunate at those early stages that two staff I can particularly remember were working for the old Shire of Berwick at that stage. So when I put the ad in, I was very impressed with their capabilities, these two, and I asked if they were going to put an application in, and both of them said no. I don't know why, but I was pleased to find out that when the applications closed, these two girls, one was Margaret Mortarolo and the other one was Pam Neave, applied, and that made my job a lot lot better because they had that experience. We ran I was very fortunate in those early times. In sort of setting up a complete new municipality, setting up a complete new system, the rate notices and all that, that's what I was trying to ascertain.
Was it computerised when you started here, or did...
Was that, we used to use the Bureau. And we only used the Bureau for the production of the rate notices and for the production of the voters' rolls. Our accounting side of it was controlled through what we used to call a slip system, where we used to hold a precis of the rate notice, and when the payment came in, it was a matter of taking the unpaid one, putting the paid in its place, and filing the slip.
So it was like the end of the manual system?
Yeah, it was at the end of the manual system.
Did you use those big books?
I never wrote in those big books. We used to use those big books to find out, to try and get a bit of history, and because we're still getting a lot of queries, and I found it very difficult to come into a new area. So what I did was, for a number of months, I used to, my lunch hours, drive around the municipality to sort of get a feel and find out where the development was going on, and just what was happening in the area. And we did that. I didn't issue the first rate notices for the city. They were done by the, I don't know whether it was the acting rate collector for the city of Berwick or, I know it was the rate collector for the Shire of Berwick, but whether they'd made him acting, I don't think they did. Dennis Doherty was his name. And and those rate notices were done by him, I think. I can't remember doing them myself. First report to council was in January 1974. We set up a number of policy situations relating to the legal action for the collection of rates. One of the main concerns the council had, and I had a very good record at the City of Sandringham where I was rate collector, was on my debt collection abilities. And I don't know whether that was one of the reasons why I got the job. I used to think it was for my personality, but I'm not so sure. Was that I had a very good success rate just through perseverance, and the old Shire of Berwick had a very very low high rate arrears figure on average for the whole of this area. This is what we see the municipality now was 92.56 was collected, which was very low. So by that year, I had that substantially reduced, I think. I may be wrong. Yeah, we had a 97.04% increase 97.04 total percentage collection, which was 3.66% on the previous year. So we really knocked it around, knocked it down, and that continued on for about, I think it was about 4 or 5 years after that, and then we couldn't beat the figure anymore. I think we got up something like about 99% at one stage, I think.
Do you remember much about the percentage of where you were collecting most of it? For example, the factories and Upton?
Yeah, the factories used to contribute quite a bit. I might have a figure here, actually. That's probably interesting. At that stage, GMH was our largest ratepayer. And what we used to do is we'd make an appointment to either go down and see them, have a bit of publicity about them paying their rates early, because getting their check-in early was a very big boost. Because I could be wrong on some of these figures, but they used to pay, well, the three industries down there were paying something like about 15% of our total rate bill at that stage. And GMH was very high. So I remember one year we went down there with the mayor, Pat Northeast, and collected the cheque at the same time, came back and banked it. I think we even, I don't know whether we took them, no, we never took them to lunch, but we had a fairly good relationship in those early years, and they were very cooperative in giving us their money.
And what would Dufton represent?
Some figures here on what the total bill was. Total levied amount for the general drainage rates and sanitary charges, and this is including, it's including arrears. Oh, I should have something. But we were collecting, I think our rate base was just, a general drainage rate was just over $1 million. Whereas today it's, I don't know, what is it, 20 odd million, I think, something like that. Population wasn't very high. We suddenly had 3.5% of people paying their rates by instalments at that stage. It's jumped up to about 45% now.
Would Dufton have been the major sort of rate
base? Rate base. Whether I've ever. I have something in here. Because it used to be the Dufton riding and the Berwick riding, wasn't it, under the old Shire?
Mm-hmm.
When the city started, it was we had the wards Dufton, Hallam, Narre Warren and Berwick.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it all here now. The in Dufton Ward, we raised $306,446. In the Hallam Ward, $397,820. In the Narre Warren Ward, $212,347. and in the Berwick ward, $252,997.
That Hallam one surprises me.
Yes, $397.
Mm.
Well, Hallam used to include the industrial areas.
Oh, did
okay,
they?
Yes, it did. They used to
shoot along the
Princess Highway. Because what was happening in those early days, used to have what they called ward accounting or ward funding. So if you had, and people like Sid Paget used to use it quite well, because in the old Shire times, that was one reason why Dufton did so well in servicing, was because of these ward balances, and the industry was down there, he had a fairly high rate base, which was supporting the whole, really, you know, sort of like the whole of it, right through to Pakenham. So he was able to commit, or get committed, funding in the Dufton area. That's why they've had the pool and had a lot of those facilities. So
is this what they mean? Because everyone keeps saying that they were concerned at the end of the Shire of Berwick that the rates collected in the Dufton area wouldn't be spent in the Dufton riding. Are they talking about the factory rates as much as the housing rates there?
Yeah, they would be, because the industry used to be in under the old Dufton riding.
Right.
It's a shame I haven't got any figures here for that.
Yeah.
It's obviously they'd be available, I would think. What the outstanding balances were, but there they just had the Berwick riding and the Dufton riding. The outstanding balance of the Berwick, this is on the 92-93 year's rates, at 16,983 outstanding for Berwick riding and 51,460 outstanding for the Dufton riding. Converted that to the four new awards that were created.
$1 million from the rates.
That's right, at that stage, yes. Yeah. So that sort of... I'm trying to recall a bit... Sid used to always play on that bit about ward funding or riding funding, and that's when, if you ever talked to him, it'd be one of the things he would say, that he was able to get the facilities down there because they were paying the rates. Well, they really weren't, but the industry was. Well, they were as well, but so much.
So how did you observe the shift with development over the next few years? I mean, presumably the Endeavour Hills area started to take off. And
it did. That's where all our concentration of growth was, around the Endeavour Hills area, obviously. Mm-hmm. I could see that, but the potential. I can always recall seeing an advertisement. They used to advertise the Endeavour Hills. It used to be known as Endeavour Hills Proprietary Limited, who were the developers of the land. I can recall them putting ads on the television. And what I did, and I went to look for this a couple of years ago, I remember going to Endeavour Hills, because I had a fairly good relationship with them as well, in that we used to have a lot of, because the amount of development was going on, there was a lot of supplementary valuations. And whenever they were paying their accounts, it was always, I can remember some, they used to pay tens of thousands over, and we had to refund them back money and all this. But anyway, I could see the potential, because they used to just, this advertisement was just sort of playing, virgin sort of land. So and that was part of their campaign. And I got a copy of that, and I used to have it in a metal canister, which I used to sit in the safe. But that's disappeared. And that was on film about that wide, I think. Mm. And that would have been phenomenal because it just gave you Endeavour Hills at that particular stage. Mm. As I said, I went looking for it a couple of years ago and couldn't find it. So, at that stage, we were only issuing... we're only selling at about, one of the early ones. We used to collect rates at the Dubton Pool. That's now ceased. Well, what we used to do was, we used to set up a collection point at the Dubton Pool. We used to advertise it in the local paper. We would be collecting rates down there at that particular stage. And that was one of Sid's gain. He used to push for that fairly strongly.
So just outside or something?
No, we used to actually use the offices of the Dubton Pool. We used to open them up. Finlay's, well, what's now Finlay's office, because Roy Walden, his name, he was the pool manager down there at that time. And he used to help us out. It was a bit of a concern because it split us. We weren't large in staff, but it split us between the two, and we had a situation where we were carrying a lot of money down there and then transporting it back here to get it to the bank around about the 10th of April. And Sid always wanted it fairly close to the last day for payment, because you haven't got what you got today in the banks. You've been able to pay at the banks, and that our collection points were, well, mainly it was always you paid at the old Pelham office.
Were there other collection points around the city?
No, we only had that, and we used to open up the pool. At one stage, it used to only be for one day, and then I think Sid was successful in getting it open for a few days. And then we cut it back again to one day, just because of the drain. And that's all stopped now, with people being able to pay at the banks. And that was, we finished up, must be a few years back now, but I remember we finished up having a security guard down there all day while we're down there, just to give the staff some security. And it was always a real hassle. We start to fairly innovative. April 1974, I put this report to council on reflectorised street numbers. And I was trying to get their approval that we would buy them in and make them available, which they did. They resolved that on the 18th of April. Placed an order on the 19th of April. Must have been efficient then too.
How many years were you in that position?
I was in that position from 74 till about 78, 79, I can't remember which. We put an in-house computer system in, and John Stratton was the system manager. He was the accountant, and I was the assistant system manager. Come assistant manager. And then you probably heard he fell foul of the organisation. Never heard that. Well, he was doing the wrong thing with their finances. And that had a tremendous impact on our old city manager, Pat Northeast. And I've always, I can always remember that particular issue fairly well, because I felt that he changed, because he had a lot of faith. The councillors all thought, you know, John Stratton was terrific, and Pat particularly. Because the organisation at that stage was, Pat was, he had that country flavour that, he used to love finances, because I don't know whether he was an accountant or whatever at some stage. So therefore he and the accountant were very close, and they just about did the whole budget. And Neil being his deputy, Neil was more admin, and they had, I felt, a very good combination. Because Neil's got the protocol side of things and the admin. Pat was more the practical type. I'm not saying Neil's up in the air, but it's just that he loved to play around with figures. And the same went with Max Fletcher and Max Pawsey and Ross Curry. Ross Curry was more the technical side. He liked to get his hands dirty. Whereas Max Pawsey used to love to attend all the meetings and do all that sort of stuff. And we had an excellent sort of a mix in that area. When John Stratton was found to be doing this, it really cut up a few of the councillors, and it cut up Pat quite a bit. And I think he lost some of his trust for a few months there. He lost his way a bit. Anyway, when that happened, then they appointed me as the system manager, come rate collector. So that would have been, I don't know, 79, 80 or something. And that was with our in-house system. We were very lucky. We had a lot of commitment from management to the computer system, and Pat and Neil, when we were initially looking at in-house computer systems, they used to come around with us, because there was, I know there were four of us. It was Pat, Neil, John Stratton, myself. There may have been someone else. And we chose Hewlett-Packard Hardware with a company called ADAPS. But ADAPS Limited were initially going to supply us on digital deck hardware. And we saw part of the system running out at the city of Essendon. And the deal that we struck with ADAPS was that they would give us, I think it was 21, what they call man-month support, software support, to change the programs to our needs and to what we were looking for. And they found when they tried to get those programs changed across from the Hewlett-Packard to digital, that it wasn't going to work. And the Hewlett-Packard hardware at that stage was dearer. And the contract we finished up signing was that they were going to carry the excess on the Hewlett-Packard hardware costs. So, and that's just, it worked out really well. And it was just a fortunate thing. And ever since then, I've been very pro Hewlett-Packard, mainly because, well, I had done computing before. I set up a computer system at Traralgon Council when I was there. I was just doing the one at Sandringham. I worked with one at Nutter Wadding, which were the old punch cards, you know, the holes in the cards. Mm. And I'd done a COBOL computer course at RMIT a number of years before. So I had always had this interest in it. They pointed me to that. I then went to night school for 4 years. I qualified and was on, what's I got it here, the 18th of July 1989, that they appointed me as manager of information systems, which was to start on the 1st of October, I think it was 1989. And that was really good, because to try and run two areas, and just by myself, and I could see what was going to happen. And also ADAPS went bust, and with my COBOL experience I was able to support the systems. But it really knocked me around, trying to do both. So that was that, and I think that it might have been in 89 that we actually went with Genesis. I'm not absolutely sure about that. Let me